following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show. Your war room for insider news and draft analysis from deep within the confines of Cowboys headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Today is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024, and I tried to fast forward to this point last week because there is 30 days until the NFL draft. Woo, 30
crazy,
days.
Man.
30 days.
It did not go by this fast last year, dude.
It didn't?
Not for me. Maybe it's because I was new. It did not go by this fast.
You were along for the ride last year.
I got my tail.
No, you did a great job.
We always get our tail.
It is flying. It really is.
It is. Like, I just can't believe it. I feel like Combine came and went. Senior Bowl snuck up on us real quick, too. I remember that.
We're in the annual meetings today. Yeah.
It's happening.
We're going to be drafting here real quick.
Pro days are like almost over with.
Don't say that.
I'm ready.
But keep your ears low to the ground because this is when you start hearing a little
a little something
every now and then.
Welcome into the Draft Show, presented by Miller Lite, a taste you can depend on. She's Aisha Morris, and we've got Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans, Nick Harris, Bobby Belt out this week. Nick is at the owner's meeting. He's actually talking to head coach Mike McCarthy as we speak, so we'll get some good insight from Nick here over the next couple of days. But here we go. Brian, you start hearing some rumblings, you start hearing some rumors, and even from the front office, some draft possible strategies whenever you look at it.
Yeah, there's people just throwing some chum in the water right now and seeing if you're interested in coming up or maybe, you know, going back. If I know there was a big article yesterday in ESPN about how Minnesota was going to navigate to get to, and they threw out a lot of different possibilities of trying to get. It all really hinged on that third spot where New England and my friend Elliot Wolf is now running their draft. And the thing about Elliot is he knows his roster needs talent, and he also knows he needs a quarterback. But can you entice him? There were a couple of different scenarios where, man, it was – and again, ESPN, I thought, did a really good job, Dan Graziano and these guys, of kind of playing it out that – you know, maybe some double trades involved. Maybe trade to a spot, then trade again to get there. You know, some next year's ones involved. You know, people are trying to right now figure out, and not everybody's put together their board. So you really, you know where the players are graded when you look at your spreadsheets. You know where there are the possibility that guys could be. You're understanding where the pockets are of players. But now it's going to be about, okay, how do I get in range to get specific players? And I'm not asking you to window dress your board, but I think something the Cowboys are going to have to look at is, you know, with some of the needs that they do have, how is their stack going to be set? How is their board going to be set? Yeah. You know, you got to make sure you put these guys in a spot where you would absolutely take them. And that's the navigation part of this. But like Aisha said, there's a lot of talking at the pro days. There's talking. There's was a lot of talking at the combine. And you've got these general managers. They're kind of visiting with each other about, listen, I'm interested in coming up. Hey, don't forget me. If you're going back, I'll be here. You know, you just want to let everybody know kind of where you stand right now. And that's kind of the whisperings that we're hearing.
It really seems like there's a possibility for more movement in this draft than even in years past, but there's been little movement to this point. By usually combine, pro days, owners meetings, you start seeing some sort of movement. Let's say Minnesota wants to go up and get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You could possibly see that. Chicago is going to shop that pick, shop Justin Fields. Of course, they got rid of Justin Fields. That's probably the number one thing, so they're going to stay put at one. But, Zach, when you look at this first round, there's a domino that needs to fall somewhere. Who could that domino possibly be?
Yeah, I mean, I think the quarterbacks at the top are really kind of driving a lot of the trade chatter. Like, is Washington legitimately interested in J.J. McCarthy, which is the latest rumor that we're hearing? A week ago, it was Jaden Daniels. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of smokescreen. You got to go ahead and figure out what's the truth there. Are they maybe open to move back? Could they possibly, you know, I think that their new offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, is very interested in Michael Penix. I know that he loves the way that he has the touch on his deep ball. So would they be interested in moving back, acquiring acquiring extra picks, and then at the bottom of the first round, or if they get an extra pick, maybe early in the second, if Penix is still on the board, do they make that selection? Is New England actually wanting to stay in and take a quarterback? Or to your point, do they say, you know what, we do want to acquire multiple picks and move back? Arizona's open for business at 4. So I really do think, and to your point, you're right. Last year we saw, hey, you had the Carolina Panthers make that trade to move up, and now they're in the position. You had Philadelphia and the Rams and that Wentz-Goff draft. They had already solidified that. So maybe we still end up getting a trade prior to the draft, but I do think that the quarterback's really kind of driving, okay, what's going to happen at the top? Denver's an interesting team at 12. I think they'd love to get up there and get a quarterback as well. And then after that, we can kind of look at, okay, where will some of these offensive tackles fall?
Yeah.
Because today there was an interesting report about Ryan Ramczyk, the offensive tackle of the Saints, and he might not be medically available to play this year. Is that another team we got to look at that could be taking ahead of the Cowboys that could now be in the market to draft an offensive tackle?
Yeah, I think the tackle might, the run at tackles might start at 10 with the Jets. You know, we're starting to hear some whispers about them that, you know, with their general manager coming out and saying, listen, there's really a deep group of these tackles here. So I would keep a definite eye on the Jets at 10 if you're looking at offensive linemen.
But they're good. They got Tyron Smith.
He's
going to be available for 17 games.
It's true.
It's going to be great.
Jets at 10, New Orleans at 14. Could Indy and Seattle at 15 and 16 take a tackle?
Interior linemen with Miami and
absolutely.
Philadelphia.
Y'all just keeping it going. And for me, I'm saying, like, that's how many people do really need tackles or to, you know, fill their offensive line. What I'm curious to see is who hits the panic button when they start. Because if there is a run on tackles and that, you know, 10 to 18 frame or whatever going into that latter part of things, that's when the Cowboys are coming up. That's where some teams are, you know, that are a little further along in people's minds are coming up. And I want to see if maybe that plays a role in some of the decision making if these tackles start flying off the board really quickly.
Yeah, I think everybody sees these tackles differently.
Right.
You know, and maybe to, you know, you used the word panic, and I kind of said, I think, you know, she's on to something. But also there's a side of me that, like, you know what, I could take your tackle list. I could take all our tackle lists, and I guarantee you they're all different.
Yeah, because people
maybe you don't panic. Maybe you're like, they didn't take our guy. They didn't take our guy.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
They once again didn't take our guy here. So everybody sees these guys differently. It's almost like, the, to me, where, you know, the thing is, I'm going to circle back real quick if I could about the Minnesota trying to get up.
Yeah.
There was an idea floating that Minnesota would say if they can't get Justin Jefferson done, they would make him part of a trade package. Mm. So could Minnesota package their own pick at, could they package 11 Justin Jefferson, or could they package Justin Jefferson in 23 and go up? So, man, when you start to hear that, that's serious. When you're saying, hey, the best wide receiver in football,
sure,
to in a lot of circles, is part of a trade package to go up and get a quarterback, this is some serious business going on. But I think this tackle run, like I say, everybody's going to look at it and they're going to go, oh, they got my guy, or they didn't get my guy there. And so I think you're going to see a lot of teams sit and see how this tackle market. The quarterbacks, I think you have to go because you have to get your guy.
Got to go.
The tackle, I think you sit because there's not as clear of a, that's the first guy, that's the second guy, that's the third guy.
And if you're the Cowboys at 24, is that's probably a good situation for you. Because you're now looking at, okay, and you've made this point, Brian, with Tyler Smith. If you come away with an offensive tackle, then you feel good. You can leave Tyler Smith at guard. If you don't, you've got a contingency to keep him. And if you do get a run where the tackles that they like are gone, now you're sitting in, okay, here's the trade back window. That's open now. Because we can fall back, maybe get our center, maybe Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from A&M starts to become in play.
Right.
Maybe if a Byron Murphy slides, the defensive tackle out of Texas, all of a sudden more options, I think, are opened if you do have a run on tackle and you get wiped at that position.
You each bring up a different point. You talked about teams that could move up. You talked about teams that are going to trade elite-level talent to move up, like
to
Minnesota
potentially
and
move
Justin
up.
Jefferson.
Yeah.
And you talk about the Cowboys. Is there a potential, and I'm talking like sky-high, crazy scenario, absolutely off the wall, that Dallas would take some elite potential, let's say Micah Parsons, a guy that they're going to have to pay coming up, CeeDee Lamb, one of these two that you have to pay coming up, and you do package them together and say, hey, we're already in cap trouble. Let's go up and get a guy. Let's go up and try and take multiple picks. I know it's crazy, but we're talking about Justin Jefferson being traded is crazy.
I tell you what, I got in a lot of trouble on the break one day talking about Micah Parsons and the possibility of trading. He is the best commodity you have.
No doubt.
You know, he's the one that people look at and they – but the problem you run into here is if you're a team that's willing to give – premium assets to go get Micah Parsons. The problem is you have to pay him, and you're giving it premium assets. Look what Snead went for with Kansas City.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all surprised the corner at Kansas City all of a sudden goes for next year's three.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going, well, wait a minute, why?
Because you got to pay him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, now if you have Micah Parsons under contract for a couple more years, then maybe it makes a little bit more sense for somebody. But I wonder how much, though, can you honestly get for Micah Parsons if knowing that, A, I'm going to have to give up premium assets, likely a one, and I'm or maybe a couple of ones, and B, I've got to pay this guy.
Yeah,
that to me is that's a move a general manager makes if he's got security that he knows that, I can make this trade and that could put me over the top, but... That is a premium asset. I mean, that is big picture thinking right now, folks. I mean, you could say crazy and all this, that. But if you're the Dallas Cowboys and players continually walking out the door and all of a sudden you need players that can help you right now, that, first round guys, that's an option you have to look at, especially if you feel like Micah Parsons is going to be the highest non-paid quarterback in the league.
Yes, he is.
And so get ready for that. And can the Cowboys, I'm sure that they've thought about this long and hard, but if you had to do it right now, you would probably say, man, we probably can't replace him, but we need to get something. Now, they've done this, we've talked about Dak a bunch.
Yeah.
Right now, they're just looking at a compensatory three for Dak.
Mm.
That's it. If they let this thing play out and let it get to free agency, that's it.
That also brings up another branch to that topic tree for me where, okay, everybody is kind of going into this year where we'll see. Like, you brought up job security. There's no security so many of these players, Dak included, and this coaching staff.
Yeah.
Does that kind of change any of the drafting when you're looking at, okay, I'm talking to an Al Harris or, some of your offensive line coaches or whoever it might be, the receivers coach, Robert Prince, and you're like, okay, who are some guys that you like? They're like, well, I like this guy, that guy. I don't know if I have multiple years to really teach and get out some of the warts from these players, so I need more players that are ready to hit the ground running than project type of players.
And I wonder what it does for when I think about what does it do for the culture and, the way the team feels when it's a lot of uncertainty like that. Yeah. Is that a healthy thing to go into a season with?
I think you have a lot of people over there, Aisha, like Zach said, that the players, it's a really – players live that every day, though.
Mm-hmm.
Players live change potentially every day because, you could get to the trade deadline, then all of a sudden – the players talk about the pressure and the stress that they feel dealing with that. The uncertainty to me is when you're working in a front office or you're a coach – and now you're thinking like, man, do I need to start thinking about talking to people at these pro days about a job next year?
Oof.
Do I need to think about, okay, I've got a couple of kids in school. Do I try and sell the house now? Mm. That's the uncertainty that you live with as a coach.
Mm.
And none of those guys can feel very comfortable right now that their situation, hopefully Mike Zimmer comes in and the new coaches and things could kind of turn around. Defensively, they have to play better than they did against Green Bay. Have to play better that way. Can Mike McCarthy, Brian Schottenheimer, can they find a way to get another MVP type of year out of Dak Prescott? But there is so much uncertainty right now with this football team that I think it's a very, very fragile situation for them.
Yeah, and does it also, too, play into when we start getting into training camp and there's depth conversations and stuff like that? Who's going to be the guy? Who's going to start? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be backup guys? Because if you're trying to make, you know, do some good for your resume, you're not about to be taking as many chances on sure. some of these guys and maybe some of these players.
Right.
And yep. to your point, Zach, and they're going to need production from their first three picks
yeah.
almost immediately.
Yeah.
Maybe immediately.
Yeah, now you've got a situation where you got a lot. Your top three picks from last year are all coming off injuries now.
Tater tots.
You just had Scooney mm-hmm. and Mozzie. We find out they have shoulder surgery, mm-hmm. and you are asking, you need them to come in and be immediate well, contributors next year. You needed them this past year, but you definitely do next year.
Well, how about the guys like Sam Williams and sure. Tolbert and others like that?
They, yeah, they, those they, are you top know, 100 picks.
Yeah, those guys need to step up too. I mean, we focus on what happened last year, but they have some other guys that need to step up yeah. clearly. And, you know, and to your guy's point as well, as a coaching staff, you might sit there and say, you know, we can't afford to have a left tackle here that's a rookie, because it might affect, you know, if our jobs are on the line. Even though Dallas has a great history of plug and play players, you know, coaches might say, you know what, we've got this Tyler Smith that can play left tackle. You know,
maybe, we know who TJ Bass is.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the kind of thing coaches, if their jobs are on the line, maybe they're not going to sit there and say, we're not interested in playing and developing like you guys are talking
sure.
about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sorry. Yeah, well, another person that just came to mind with me is even Overshown.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the fact that he's coming off of an ACL.
Yep.
It is going to take him time. And I do think, I will say about him, his athleticism is so off the charts that I do yeah. think that his a step down would still, he still be explosive to some extent. So, but I was just thinking about him coming in and Zim coming in with his system and what he maybe wants to do with linebackers. Is he going to feel like he has time for this, you know, for him to get comfortable? I think Overshown will show us what he's capable of, but I will say that to me makes a difference as well, is having some of these guys coming off injuries.
Yeah.
How patient are they going to be if this defense needs to take a step forward, you know, the next yeah. year?
Trayvon Diggs right there as well.
Mm-hmm. You need all of those guys to step up. And speaking on DeMarvian Overshown, with the new kickoff rule change, yeah. he could be an elite special teams individual. Yeah. You need him on defense, but you talk about his size, his speed, his athleticism, and the way that defense or that kickoff scenario is going to work out, you're going to need him to step up in that regard as well. There's yeah. a lot of things that need to fall into place, but when we're talking about scenarios in the first round, I don't think anything is off the table.
No.
I think at it's all point, on the table at this point.
And I think that's also a testament to the number of first-round picks that – well, first-round players that we deem in this draft.
Yeah.
To me, it's considerably more than it was last year when
yeah,
most right. people could barely get out the teens,
yeah.
like
right,
how
right.
many people they thought. So that well, plays a factor.
We haven't
well.
Brought that up in a while. I'm glad you brought that up. Now that you're further along in your evaluation of this draft class, where do you have your first-round grades? How many do you have?
I would say, let me see.
Oh. You mean to roll it real
yeah.
quick?
Technology's
while I got,
failing.
Yeah, 22.
You've got 22 first-round grades?
That's it.
That's wild. And last year, what was it, like 15 or 16?
I think I had 18. Is
18
what it
last
was.
Year?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're up by four.
Yeah, I'm at 23.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
I have 23.
So, yeah,
maybe
22 or 23?
I have 24-ish in question mark.
You've got a guy.
Y'all
got a
know
one, two.
I got anxiety and I'm indecisive.
You've got one of those cheater grades. It's a 1-2.
Yeah. I learned that from Dane Brugler.
Yeah.
Dane Brugler is a famous. Dane will throw a 3-4 at you every
yeah.
once in a while. You're like, okay, where does he really sit?
Wait, we can do that? Sounds good to me.
Yeah, how many does that give you now? Give
if
you,
I
like,
did that, it would add two more.
Oh,
I got
really?
I got a couple of tackles that are like fringe there.
It
Who are they?
Like Jordan Morgan and Amarius Mims.
They're both right there?
Yeah, they're both fringe.
Is Guyton a first rounder or a second rounder?
I think I've got Guyton as a two.
That's okay. what I was – I. That's something I saw this week as well.
I have all three.
About
yeah,
Mims.
I've got him as a two.
Yeah.
People are – there's people on the fence about Mims
yeah,
right now.
And I get
that.
Yeah, and that kind of plays into what Brian was saying about, yeah, a lot of people see these guys differently.
They do.
Well, that's a raw player, right? That's one where it's like, man, if we're going in with a one-year
lame
duck situation.
That is a boomer bust.
I don't know.
Right
do
there.
We have time to
yeah.
risk on an Amarius Mims? He might not be really part of the conversation if that's kind of the thinking in the room.
Brian brought it up. Who are your top five tackles then? I want to just see how they Ooh. Differ from in the room. Top five tackles that you have on your board
Alt,
right now.
Fuaga, Fashanu, Guyton, and Latham.
Okay. Who you got?
Fashanu, Alt, Fuaga, Latham, Mims.
Okay.
Fatanu I have as a guard.
Okay, so you're moving him.
But
inside.
he can play.
But see, I'm hearing whispers about Morgan being a guard on a lot of teams.
Yeah, a lot of teams do look at him that way.
Yeah, I think those two probably have flipped as the process has gone on because Fatanu certainly he was taller than I expected him to be when he went and did measured at the scouting combine. So I think he's got more of the tackle flex. Morgan, I could see kicking inside to guard. So if I'm putting Fatanu in the conversation with tackles, mm-hmm. he would probably be my fourth guy.
Fourth guy. In front of Latham?
In front of Latham.
Okay. I've got Alt, Fashanu, Fuaga, Latham, and then Fatanu. So, yeah, all different.
Yeah.
Firm of all those F.
Yeah.
No, I have Alt, Fashanu, Fuaga, and then I have Latham, Guyton.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
So everybody's different. Everybody sees these tackles differently.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
If we all got a crack at the first one, we would always put Latham up there. But, I mean, excuse me, not Latham, but Alt.
Alt, yeah.
Alt would be first. And then after that, it's throw him in a hat and draw him. And I think you'd be pretty happy with any one of the guys you draw. You know?
Sure.
I mean, I really do. I wouldn't have a problem with, you know, like I say, the Washington tackle, I think is really
Fatanu.
Good. Fatanu, I think, is really, really good. The thing with Morgan, you know, the more you talk to people, they're like, he's a guard, you know. And then I talked to a scout in the league that does the Southeast. It said that, and I think I said this to you guys earlier, he said Latham from Alabama, he goes, I don't know if he could be a left tackle, but I think he'd be an all-pro guard.
So,
you know, there's people, maybe when we, at the end of this, when people kind of reveal what their board was, that some of these tackles will be over on the guard side of the board. And they really did never consider him as tackles.
Do you think that Latham conversation deals with the fact that he is a bit heavier set, 342 at the combine?
Man, they're all giants.
Yeah.
All these guys are giants. I mean, I think.
But you look at the guys around him, 321, 312, 324, 317. And
right.
Then you've got Mims that's 340 and Latham that's 342. So, they're
I would
about
say
20
yes.
pounds off.
I think the fact that he went from like, I know we were all looking at him as a 360-pound guy on tape.
Yep.
And now he's a 342-pound guy. Hopefully he could find a way to get down to 333 or something mm-hmm. like that. But, man, I mean, the guy plays really, really well. I don't see a balance problem at all. And, see, everybody compares him to, like, Evan Neal.
Yeah.
You know, like
–
well, no, in a way
– I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Like
no,
the,
no,
the mass – the team.
Yeah, well, you know, see, they had a chance to move – when Evan Neal graduated, they had a chance to move Latham to left tackle, and they didn't do it. And they didn't want to weaken two positions is what they were looking at. And so that's why he played right tackle. It's like they said, listen, we'll find. But, man, I see a better player than Evan Neal with Latham.
Yeah, I think
that's what I – that's I mean, I – you know, Evan Neal, and I'm not just saying because what I'm seeing in the pros, I just see a better – Latham, I think, is a better player.
Yeah, I agree. Him as Darnell Wright. That was my comp to him. I think he's more closer to a Darnell Wright because of the length, the athleticism, the power.
The consistency.
Sure.
A little bit of the violence and aggression in his game. I mean, I did write in my notes, I wonder if he can kick inside, be a good guard. I think he can be an elite right tackle, but I'm not sure he could ever play on the left, and it might just be an athleticism thing.
Yeah.
Got to be able to play on an island.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back here on the Draft Show, we're going to answer your questions. Twitter on the 20 coming up next. We've got plenty of good ones rolling in. More of the Draft Show right after this.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
I'm Darren Woodson, former Dallas Cowboy player and Super Bowl champion. When I played in the NFL at a high level, I relied on my vision to see the field. As I started getting older, I noticed my vision wasn't as good, and I was getting frustrated from wearing my glasses all day. I went to Laser Care Eye Center, and Dr. G talked about all the options. Thanks to technology and Laser Care Eye Center, I can see near, far, and between. Don't fumble your vision any longer. Visit them at dfweyes.com and tell them Darren sent you. They got me back on my game.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus at Lincoln.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into two new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie bowls, now in two new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Welcome back to the Draft Show presented by Miller Lite, a taste you can depend on. This segment is brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. I've got an appointment to go look at Ford vehicles.
There you go.
I need an extra back seat. Need some room for the stroller. So gotta. I've got some Ford.
You ever thought
friends.
About a U-Haul van?
Yeah, I have. I have thought
maximize
about
maximize the
if
space.
It had an extra seat, I think I'd be okay.
Walk-up ramp.
Car shopping is exciting, but also
stressful.
That too. Yeah. That's what I.
It's, you don't like to haggle.
It's
do
all stressful. I have three children now.
You get on the haggling.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into some Twitter on the 20.
Players though.
Twitter on the 20.
Twitter on the 20. Thank you very much, Beamer in the back. Okay, there was a lot of conversation. And Jess, there are a lot of convos in the Orlando winter meetings, or not winter meetings, but owners meetings, where you're talking about running back and defensive tackle. And so a lot of these fans have really lined up with those. We're going to start with defensive tackle. Jake wants to know, with the rehab news on Mozzie Smith going through the shoulder surgery, going to have to rehab for a significant portion of the offseason, should be ready for training camp, says Mike McCarthy, but are we still writing off defensive tackle early in this draft?
Not at all.
I know. Heck no.
No. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, especially if you trade back and all of a sudden, you know, maybe a Johnny Newton comes into play from Illinois, who's a hell of a player. Byron Murphy starts to slide from Texas. I mean, we've talked quite a bit on the G-Bag Nation on our show on 105 Through the Fan. I love Braden Fisk out of Florida State.
Yeah, oh,
I wouldn't mind him, you know, in the second round. I don't know if you could wait and get him in the third, but there's several of these guys, and if you wanted to wait until the, you know, day two, I mean, we know some of the guys that they've met with, you know, whether it's a Mason Smith from LSU, who's an intriguing player as well.
Yeah.
Is there a scenario where you could see a defensive tackle going to Dallas in the first round, or is that pretty much out the door at this point with offensive line?
I don't know. I think it just really depends on what if Zimmer has a say-so and some of the stuff going on, because, good Lord, you don't have any DT depth right now.
Mm-mm.
It's not funny. I don't find it amusing at all. I mean, you legitimately don't have any depth at that position right now, and to with Zimmer and the way he likes to play football with his front seven, that's a problem. And you really, the window is kind of closed to be able to get a veteran guy unless you're going to do a June 1st whatever situation. But have mercy. You might have to. I know, like, it shouldn't be a need or whatever, but I'm sweating a little bit over here in this jacket. So I do want to ask y'all, because it's intriguing to me. Is Newton light years above Byron Murphy? Are some people going to look at these guys and think that, I mean, the explosiveness is similar? I mean, like,
Some people might. I mean, I know a couple of people that have Newton as a top 10 player for them in the entire draft. Some people really love Newton. I think they're pretty close. I mean, I think Byron Murphy's an absolute freak show. I love both those dudes.
I think Byron Murphy's a top 15 player. I think Newton's probably a top 25 player. They're both very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you look at Newton, it's the size and the athleticism, whereas Murphy could probably put on a little bit of size, you know, to make it work. But I compared Jerzon Newton to Nick Dominguez, who, like, I think he's just a game wrecker. That's just what he does.
He is. And his ability to maintain the double teams.
Yes.
I mean, he can hold blocks, plays with great leverage, controls the line of scrimmage. I think he can move up like a piano player. I learned that term, Brian, last week.
Yeah, I can
play up and down the defensive line. Yeah. So, the guy, and he's a team captain. I think he's just super intelligent. The way that he uses his hands, hand fighting for me. We've talked about that the last couple of years since we've been on the show, Aisha. But, I mean, that stands out. I mean, I think that means you're a guy that can come in and really hit the ground running at the NFL, because a lot of players that take some time to develop. But his ability also to show awareness to get his hands up in passing lanes and knock the ball down,
things.
I think, is one of the best things that he does.
Yeah, I mean, I was very impressed with his tape last year, and he jumped off the page. And so this year, I felt like this last season, I still feel like he played well, but last year was just, I don't know, I felt like he really, really impressed me more last year, but it is what it is. That Illinois defense has a lot of guys on it. So
you guys looking for either one or three? One or three?
I'd like to find a guy that can be a little interchangeable, because I think they need that. But I think more so I'm looking at more of the bigger bodied than the Leonard Taylor out of Miami.
I think I would have a true nose, a true one.
That's
what
me.
I want.
That's me, because I think we got a little fancy schmancy with the tweeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's hurt you in this last couple years, is a lot of the tweeners and things like that.
I think that's why I like Braden Fisk, because I think he can be a one, even though he weighed in a little bit lighter than he looks when you watch him play.
I'm tired of guys weighing in a little bit lighter.
But he's got pass rush ability.
I want a big body in the middle.
But Fisk is, right?
You
watch Braden Fisk, he's a big boy.
Fisk is disruptive, though, man.
But yeah.
What do you want, Brian?
You know what? I mean, to me, I like these three techniques here. I don't trust Mason Smith, and I'm sorry, that's from my alma mater.
No, you know him.
We seen it.
Yeah, and
we watched him.
And the thing about it is, I'll tell you a guy I really like. I like McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M.
Good.
Okay.
6'2", 326. And I see a guy that plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he is, you know, but he's not a first-round guy. He's not a second-round guy. I mean, maybe somebody will take him maybe a little bit earlier. Maybe somebody will take him a second, just because there's not a lot of depth at the one. But to me, this is an explosive guy.
Yes.
And I feel like this – give me the explosive guy paired with Osa. You know, we need Osa to play more than 13 games. He gets tired because he plays so damn hard the whole game. Aisha's brought this up before. When he plays next to somebody that's really, really good, it helps him. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps him to take some of the pressure off him. But, man, McKinley Jackson, to me, if I can't get Fisk – And you know, we talk about Mason Smith, and I'm out on that one.
Yeah.
I'm out on Mason Smith, but McKinley Jackson, that's a guy that I would take a crack at. And he doesn't have to be, a first or second round guy. I think this is probably a third round guy, maybe a fourth round guy, maybe the start of the second or the third day. But this guy's a hell of a football player. He really, really is.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 326 pounds.
Yeah.
And, I mean, played a lot of zero technique.
Yes. He played nose. He did.
He can anchor down. He's good against double teams. I mean,
explosive.
He's got constant penetration from
Give
him.
Me that guy.
Yeah,
give
absolutely.
Me somebody. I mean, if Cowboy Nation and maybe all of us, if they have to use another first-round pick on a one technique, you know, it's going to be like, damn, didn't we just do this?
No,
right.
It would definitely take some people off.
But I'm not saying anything. Fisk is a damn good player from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
You watch him. He is disruptive. He gets down the line.
No doubt.
He throws blockers aside. He gets in the pocket. He can run guys down. Just watch the Senior Bowl drills when he's going against really good competition in this offensive line. He's wrecking shop there. So, yeah, I mean, to me, I know we've talked about the other guys. To me, the other guys that that you're visiting about, you know, when you start to talk about Newton and got Jenkins from Michigan, guys like that, Murphy, those are all three techniques to me. You know, this team needs somebody that's a badass at one, and it's unfortunate that the guy they drafted last year was dealing with a lot of things. You know, he just wasn't up to the task right now, and hopefully he'll figure that out.
Yeah, that was one of the topics of conversation Stephen Jones talked about. They could maybe look at adding a veteran in that room, but the defensive tackle is definitely a position where they're going to look at in the draft. Same thing can be said for running back. He talked about Jonathan Brooks extensively. His quote says, it always helps when one of the doctors you're very familiar with does the surgery.
He's going to be picked in the second round for the Cowboys.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, let's just connect dots. Mm-hmm. Dr. Cooper did the surgery. He's this kid's a hell of a football player. Dr. Cooper.
His tape is
He did the surgery for Smith, our linebacker way back in the day.
Jalen
Smith. So, Dr. Cooper's there to tell. Jim Maurer's got the medical information. They know when the rehab is. They went and they sent their coach to Austin to work these guys out. He had dinner with the guy. He's a 30-visit guy. If this ain't lining up like a Cowboy pick potentially at 56, I don't know what is. Maybe people think he's a third-round guy. I'm in the second round.
I have him in the second.
Yeah.
I don't think he lasts to 80s.
I think him, Benson probably go off the board in the second round. I mean, it was a clean tear in the ACL. They seem to think that he could be ready to go for training camp, which is positive. So he's a hell of a player. If it weren't for the ACL, I'd have no question about making that pick at 56. But I'm with you. It seems like it is trending in that direction. And in the second round, the Cowboys have a history of doing that with guys coming off of injury.
Can I want to ask you guys, though, and I could be wrong, but with how the running back position is starting to look like it's being valued, it's like, get what you need to get out of your first contract because these teams are doing by committee. There's unfortunately less value for the position. Does that make you as a scout or as a team a little more less nervous to take a guy with an ACL or a past ACL or something? Because unfortunately, and I'm not trying to say this in a bad way because they deserve the respect, but I'm just saying, is it one of those things where they're more willing to take some of these guys who come off of injuries and things like that? Because quite frankly, they're not planning on giving them a second contract because that's kind of what the position is for.
You're saying longevity doesn't matter as much. Right. Durability doesn't matter as much.
Especially since it's by committee lot as well, which I know sucks to say, but it seems like kind of the reality of the position. Is that maybe why teams may be more open to doing things like this?
Maybe teams in general, but the one thing about across the hall, they need running back help now.
Right. I mean, tracking that.
They need running back help now. So if Jonathan Brooks is not ready for training camp or not ready for the regular season and they know that, I don't see them spending a first or a second round pick on the guy.
They could.
But if he's ready and he's as explosive on tape and he's back to 100% and he's ready to go and he's able to contribute week one, then absolutely, I think they would take that pick and run with it because longevity is not as big of a factor and durability in the short term is good to go.
Okay. I guess that's why I was trying to ask.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I love Trey Benson from Florida State too. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know if they do. That's the thing about it.
Yeah, Benson's my number one guy. I mean, the two guys that I fight for, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, I absolutely love.
There you go.
And then Ray Davis from Kentucky. Those would be my other two fallback options that I like a lot. And then Marshawn Lloyd from USC seems like he's really made a case for
himself. See, I like Lloyd a lot, too. And to me, the reason I make the comment about Benson being a Cowboy, because it's just there's too many things lining up
for Brooks.
For
Jonathan Brooks out of Texas.
I'd say Benson.
We were just talking about Benson.
Brooks, to me, there's just too many things lining up. I mean, the doctor, the 30 visit, the dinners, they're going to bring him in on his 30 visit. Dr. Cooper's probably going to be downstairs, probably going to take a look at the knee again. I'm sure there's been he's got the indie rechecks that they're going to do in April. He'll get that done. It just seems like to me if that's what they're going to do. But there are a lot of good backs in this draft.
There are.
There are
a lot. I mean,
it stretches pretty good.
And let me ask you this, though. A one technique or a running back?
In the second?
In the second.
Duh. Whatever players higher on your board.
Just give it doesn't have, you don't have to be the player. Just give me the position. If would you take a running back in the second or a defensive tackle if the grades were equal?
Equal.
A defensive tackle. Because I think running back stretches more. I don't think that the drop-off is as big for me.
I don't know, because Brian brought up a McKinley Jackson. There are a couple DTs, even a Gabe Hall, some guys that are a little down the...
Yeah,
there's a couple. I don't think there's as many at running back.
No, and that's 100% true. I struggle with it.
That's a tough question, but I think initially I would rather take a Fisk in the second round and then circle back and grab Ray Davis from Kentucky, and I'd feel really good.
But also, too, baby, how are we running the ball this year? Like, I think it also depends, too, is if there are going to be improvements with how they run the ball this year, period. So I'm like, I'm not trying to take no offense to Smith, you running back, and he going to get tackled in the backfield every time.
Oh, if you can't block, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Well, in this scenario,
I'm fussing.
Assume in the first round,
you're taking an offensive lineman. You're taking either a tackle or your center in the first round. I'm trying to see how committed you are to taking a running back in the second round.
I'm not super committed.
I'm not that committed. I do think they're going to. I mean, I agree.
You think there's more depth at Aisha at running back, say rounds 3 and 4, than what your tackle's looking at?
Well, yeah, because
and I was sitting there just screaming at you because my I don't have a one technique.
No. That was what I was about to say though. I think there's less depth for a real one tech in this draft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are more options at running back later if you do decide to do that as well. But I mean, you re-signed Rico. That's a thing. So I wonder also too, like what are they looking forward to package with Rico?
Yeah. I mean,
you're looking for your starting running back. Yeah. What you're looking
are
for.
You look, so okay, yeah. So Rico's going to be, you think Rico?
I mean, Rico Dettle hasn't ever played a full season in the NFL, yeah. You know? I mean, I think you're looking for your starter. And
Hell,
I like
that
Rico.
One technique you draft might be the starter.
Could be.
The guy that you're drafting.
What choice is he going to have?
Yeah.
No. Right now,
if he's not starting, he's in the rotation.
Your starter in Seattle, he got paid $2.
Yeah.
$2?
$2.
I think I would take.
You're preaching to the choir here.
I'm not
going to
fuss.
Man.
If Jonathan Brooks is there, I'm going with I have an equal grade on Jonathan Brooks.
Fisk or Brooks?
And Fisk.
I'm taking Fisk.
I think I would take Fisk.
Fisk is higher on my board.
Oh. It should be.
What about T. Sweat? What about the two Texas kids? Tavondre Sweat or Brooks?
Why are you looking at me?
Well, because there you're talking about a legit big boy, too.
Okay. Brooks. Just because he's higher on my board.
I've got Brooks probably higher than Sweat, too. But that's close.
You know what? I take it back.
They're touching tags.
I take it back. Give me Sweat.
You're taking Sweat?
Yeah, I think Sweat's a better player.
See, the one guy that I really want to fight for, and he's not a true nose, but disruptive as hell. And he just.
Who you got?
Brandon Dorlis, the Oregon defensive tackle.
Yeah, kind of fun.
Mm. Like that guy.
Yeah, he can play.
That guy's just wreaking havoc.
That's another tweener.
In the middle. He is another tweener.
Five tech, outside edge rusher.
He is. Because, like, 3-4, he'd play a 3-4 defensive end.
Yep.
But, gosh, I watched Brandon Dorlis.
He's 283 pounds.
What the hell? I know.
He's huge.
I know, but, gosh, he's disruptive. Like, you watch him, and he's living in the opponent's backfield. He's so long. I mean, he's a tough guy to block.
I put a late third on him. Just
somebody
he's,
is going to.
If he's an edge rusher, I think I would put maybe a second.
But yeah, he doesn't fit body type into what we're talking about here.
In either position.
He plays
either one.
Yeah, but he can play everywhere.
And the dude
that y'all love, so, I mean, Fatanu, he said that Brandon Dorlis was the best player he played.
You could see it when you watched him play Washington, too. He gave him fits.
He said that. He literally said that he's the hardest person he played against.
You brought up Gabe Hall from Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
What did you like about him? I think if you're looking at late defensive tackle options, that's another one that I think is a little bit under the radar.
Hold on.
I mean, I'll give it based off of what I've got. 6'6", 291 pounds. He was a tall, lengthy frame on the interior, used that length to affect the passing lane, gain leverage on blockers. I liked his hands. He was a defensive tackle with Baylor, but he played a little bit outside, 3 technique, 5 technique, kind of went back and forth because he was a little lighter.
With me, the one thing I'm learning to look at with DTs that I really admire the most is how patient they can be, and also to the extension.
Very good.
And if their arms,
he's got length.
Yeah, he has the length, and I think that plays a big role in what he's able to do. And some of the hands, his hands are huge.
Yeah,
and he has heavy hands. So a lot of these guys, especially these DTs and these middle, like sometimes that patience takes time to develop. Even talking to Hankins and some of the guys that played the position, they say that typically takes time. When you see some of these guys display patience early, I think that's a good sign of their development. And he's one of those guys that has some of that in his game.
Well, you nailed him. You got the guy.
He's fun.
You got him.
He plays a little bit everywhere, too. Same thing. Yep. Up and down the line.
He's a piano player.
And super, but his motor, but also the motor.
I'll never forget
high.
That one now.
Yeah. The motor super high with him. He's very relentless in his pursuit. And that was interesting to me as well. And he's not a pretty player.
Yeah.
I wrote that down as well. It's like, he's not pretty. It's not always going to look perfect for him. But the motor and the effort and the way he just keeps playing and fighting with his hands to get separation is typically what does it for him. He's not super explosive, but he had a mad, crazy split. Like, he doesn't look super explosive on field, but at the combine, he had a 1.72 split, 10-yard split, which shows that he can get some burst off the line, maybe a little bit more than what I thought he was.
But I was pretty impressed watching him against Cooper Beebe.
Yeah.
He did a really good job against Beebe, being able to get upfield. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He kicked Texas Tech's ass. That was the one game
and
that stood
size
out to
too,
me.
I mean, he has decent size, 6'6", 292. Mm-hmm. Maybe you put a little bit more weight on him, he's 300 pounds.
Sure.
I mean, you might be working with something there in the later rounds. Because there's not as much fancy running back dip down there.
All right.
You sounded very much like John Gruden when he one time goes, he's got a drinking problem. You don't like him because he has a drinking problem. He gave me that whiny voice one time. I want to punch him.
Did that player turn out okay?
Oh, it was fine. He would get it.
He was all right.
John was arguing a bit with the scouts real quick, if I could. John was arguing with the scouts and about a wide receiver, John was just going on and on and on, and then he stopped me. He looked at all the scouts in the room and goes, yeah, none of you like him because he's got a drinking problem. And then, we all would just start dying laughing. But that was John. John was right about a lot of players. He sure was.
All right, we're going to take our second break. When we come back, we've talked about defensive tackle. We've talked about running back. But what's the most underrated need on this entire Cowboys roster? That one's going to be a tough one to pigeonhole. Yeah. We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Hi, Drew Pearson, former Dallas Cowboy and now Pro Football Hall of Famer here. If you're struggling with your vision and tired of those contacts and glasses, don't throw a Hail Mary. Go where I went. Laser Care Eye Center, the official LASIK partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Drew, thank you so much for trusting us with your vision correction procedure. At Laser Care Eye Center, we offer 6 different vision correction procedures to help patients see.
Check them out at dfweyes.com. Tell them Drew sent you. Hood, hood.
In a stressful world, Lincoln provides balance and calm amidst the chaos by creating sanctuaries that move you through the world with ease. Our vehicles make your time richer and more uplifting with human-centric design, intelligent technology, and powerful performance. As the official luxury vehicle of the Dallas Cowboys, driving a Lincoln is just another way to show your team pride. Experience our full lineup of luxury vehicles, including the Corsair, Aviator, Navigator, and Nautilus. At Lincoln.com.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
Hi, I'm Danny McCray, Dallas Cowboys alumni player here with Smoothie King. And Smoothie King wants to ask you, what's that sound? That's the sound of us magically transforming our smoothie bowls into 2 new decadent flavors. Dig into a cool acai or pitaya bowl, handcrafted with crunchy, purely Elizabeth granola, fresh strawberries, and finished with a velvety chocolate hazelnut drizzle. Perfect for breakfast, lunch, or anytime you want to munch. And that's the sound of you making them disappear. Smoothie Bowls, now in 2 new decadent flavors. Only at Smoothie King, the official smoothie of the Dallas Cowboys.
This is the DallasCowboys.com Draft Show.
Back here on the Draft Show, head to the Star in Frisco for movie night presented by Monument Realty. Bring your chair and your blanket to Tostitos Championship Plaza for the showing of Rango on Thursday, April 18th, beginning at 7 p.m. For more info, visit thestardistrict.com. Big Rango guy yourself, Zach?
Love Rango.
Yeah,
who's
big
the
time.
Star? Is it Johnny Depp? Who's voicing Rango?
I think you're right.
Isn't Johnny Depp?
I think it is Johnny Depp.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
That was off the top rope. Well
done.
That
was pretty good.
Yeah. You nailed the player. Well done. You got him.
It was Johnny Depp.
Oh, voice.
That's a badass lizard right there.
He was. Little dusty self. It's chameleon, ain't it?
Is he chameleon?
I think he's chameleon because of his eyes.
It's a lizard right there.
He kind of blend in everywhere.
It's a badass lizard right there.
It's one of the coolest lizards I've ever seen.
Give your scouting report on Rango. Go.
Geico, take notes. He always had
He's slithery through the line of scrimmage.
He is very slithery.
Slippery player.
You know, very slippery, twitchy. quick off the line.
He can fit in any role he's given.
That's talk about a piano player. That Rango.
Gosh,
I could play him anywhere.
Geico, take notes.
Real chameleon.
All right.
Bye.
Biggest.
Somebody's going to tweet at you. Who that player you were talking about?
Oh, yeah.
It's Rango. Not Jonathan or whatever the guy. Who was that a couple years ago? Jonathan Rango? Ringo?
Oh, we got a Wingo right now.
There's a Wingo right now.
That was getting toasted in a...
The Georgia corner?
Philly?
Keely Ringo.
Keely.
Yeah, that's
Keely.
What I was thinking
Keely.
Of.
That's it.
Y'all know I'm going to throw some jabs at Philly.
When you get an opportunity.
Hey, we called that one, too. That guy could not cover a double move to save his life.
He also had some medicals last year that people didn't like. All right. Biggest under-the-radar need for this Dallas Cowboys team entering the draft. And by this point, usually you've had some free agent signings. You've made some sort of motion. You've done something to shore up your holes. What holes are still there that maybe aren't being talked about as much as the running back, the offensive line, the defensive tackle? I'm going to let Aisha start.
Yeah, I know you've got one.
Zach, you look like you're ready over there.
No, you take this one. I know you're ready, and then I'll follow up.
Listen. Listen.
You're about to tell us?
I am. I'm just going to say it.
Listen.
I think tight end is a need.
Boom.
Boom, pow. I'm sorry. I only say this because... you didn't get much from Peyton Hendershot last year.
Mm-hmm.
Schoonmaker just had surgery, and a lot of the things he did for you last year were blocking.
Needs to be better.
John
at
Stevens
that.
Is maybe the guy that you're looking at to do some things for you, but I think Jake Ferguson needs another roadie that's going to be consistent. And I really also feel like if you look at last year's tape, baby, when you got in 12 personnel, nobody cared. Mm-hmm. Because they like, we watching tape on this rookie. We know y'all not throwing him the ball. So they're not, they don't care. I'm sorry, I understand you can run plays and this is the look we're going to do. But if people know that this gentleman is not doing anything for you from a receiving standpoint, and I'm not saying to just give up on Scooney. I'm just saying maybe if you do see someone down, you know, in the later rounds that you're okay with taking him. So that's just me.
So later round need. So,
like day three.
Yeah. I think this is something you can do a little bit later, depending on what you're doing. I mean, I looked at Tip Reeman last night.
Yeah.
Illinois, 6'4", 271. Yeah. Very willing blocker. He can get caught up sometimes and sustaining blocks. He has good straight line speed. He has some yak ability, but it's more because of the angles he takes than him just being elusive. He high points the ball very well, though. He is a red zone threat and someone that can get after it. Dalen Holker. I mean, there's some gentlemen that are going to fall down in this. I watched A.J. Barker last night.
Barner, rather.
Mm-hmm. I can't read my own hand.
That's okay.
From Michigan. I literally wrote down, I said, well, he's a Michigan tight end, though.
Yeah.
Know that baby.
Why don't you talk about your guy Bell?
He out there blocking. I mean,
Jaheim Bell's a beast.
Jaheim's a guy as well, but I think he'll be gone before. I don't think that it's that much of a need that you're going to pick that early. And I think he's going to be.
He's probably a day two guy.
Yeah, he's going to be.
Sneak
gonna,
up in there.
Like a Caden Stover from Ohio State, if he slipped to the fourth round.
I
think that'd be a pretty good value.
Thoroughly enjoyed his tape.
I don't think he's slipping to the fourth. I think he's a third round guy.
I think he's probably a third round guy, but you never know. You never know.
Because
he's well rounded. I like both.
I thought about it. I didn't do it. I cowered away from him, but I thought about putting him in the second. I think he's a legitimate player. He's ready to play.
The blocking.
I like Stover. The block. Yeah.
It's just the temperament, man. Yeah. And I think when you got a badass tight end that's not afraid to go toe to toe with some of the best DTs, DEs,
we're seeing
and
him
really
go toe to toe with Georgia, just 1v1 right
scared.
Here.
He's not scared.
No, Stover, they have him as a lead blocker.
He's
a
tone setter.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
a tone setting tight end, I think it's valuable. And so I don't know if he's, I don't think he's going to be there. And that's why I did not mention his name. But. I do think tight end feels important for what you want to do on the ground, but also, too, what you want to do through the air. If your aerial attack is going to be money, hey, honey bun, people got tape on Ferg. They starting to see what's up. They already know. And so you can take advantage of when people are rolling coverage to him and doing some things with him. And also, too, help preserve his body. Because Ferg is, like, and it's not, I'm not saying
he's a tough player.
He's a very tough player.
Physical.
But he's doing a lot of extra things, and he's out there. I mean, they ran 11 personnel so much because it was one of the only sets they could successfully get passing yardage out of consistently. It was their go-to this year. And I just think adding another tight end could really open up your playbook a little bit more from a receiving standpoint and you can get some consistent stuff from on the ground. And I mean, I don't know what Schoon's going to be like, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know, the depth behind those two guys is very unsure right now.
Yeah. I mean, because you got Stevens coming off that injury. So I hear you. I do. I'm going to go with corner, and I've been pretty consistent with that.
You're not playing about corner.
Man, corner. Because it's like, look, they move up to go get Eric Scott Jr.
Yeah.
But was that a guy that, like, DQ had a plan for, and now he's out of the building?
Wow.
I don't know how Al Harris feels about him. But, I mean, he was a guy we liked. I mean, I thought he definitely had some ball skills. He's got some traits. He's long. He's tough. But Diggs coming off an injury, right? I mean, I think you feel good about him. Jordan Lewis is on a one-year deal, though. Mm-hmm. Bland, of course, you like. But the depth behind those pieces, there is a ton of question marks. Unless, do you want to move Mukwamu back over to corner? I think that's definitely a spot where you're looking at this roster and thinking, okay, they're pretty top-heavy right now. You don't have a lot of depth if you were to have some injuries. So corner, to me, I think you even have that discussion as early as the second round, whether it's TJ Tampa at Iowa State, depending on who's there. I mentioned Kyrie Jackson, the last shot at Oregon, who's a big guy that I like. The Georgia kids are all good. Rakestra out of Mizzou, if you were to slide. Chris Abrams, Drain as well out of Missouri, I think is an interesting player. So there's a lot of corners. I mean, we've talked about that. You could probably wait till day three and even get a corner for depth purposes that you feel solid about.
One question before Brian goes. Do y'all think that Elijah Jones, Boston College, maybe is going to fall a little bit because I think he had a suspension last year for something? And if so,
let's see what it was.
Would you be interested in grabbing him? Because you're talking corner. I think that maybe because of some of the off-field stuff, that gentleman could be someone that could fall because of that.
That's your value pick.
Yeah.
And that's my point. But I just, real quick, sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah.
Tell us what you got.
Yeah. To me, when I look at this roster for the Cowboys, I thought safety was going to be an issue. And we'll see what they do with Marquise Bell and moving him back. He's going to go from a linebacker to playing safety. And I know that Mike wants to play with interchangeable guys. He wants to be able to have really smart guys, football intelligent guys. Marquise Bell is kind of all that. So I think that's going to help. Who are the backup edges on this team?
I knew you were going to say edge. Facts. Big facts,
yeah.
Brian.
we talk about guys that have got to step up. And Junior Fajoco is a step-up guy.
Yep.
Sam Williams, step-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get it now – take Micah Parsons and don't make him an edge. Now what are you looking at?
Oh, yeah. You're looking at Sam Williams and DeMarcus Lawrence as your starting edge.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with Golston.
That's where he needs to be anyways.
That's the thing with Golston. He's another one of these guys that we all like to talk about. Yeah. We all sit there and talk about, like, well, what's Golston going to do? Well, he needs to get better too, you know?
Sure.
So
this
edge, to me, sneaky, very sneaky, the edge. They better find a way to add a guy, maybe two, to help them with some of their stuff.
I'm going to tell you something. I'm tired of watching. And again, I understand. It's kind of like when I think about the NBA. You cover the NBA.
I do.
Just kind of like what the three-point shot is. And how, like, so many guys want to shoot, but they don't want to, like, they don't want to set screens, they don't want to do anything, you know. I feel that way about DNs that don't like to stop the run, and I'm sick of it.
Those are your three-point shooters.
Tater tots. Like, I really am exhausted with watching a lot of the guys. Like, if you come across a guy that's willing to rush the passer but can stay square, be patient, and be able to still stop the run and time it and stuff like that, I think that's becoming a lot more valuable because a lot of these guys are just trying to wreck shop to the quarterback and people are running past them. And especially when you start talking about the NFL, baby, if that team run RPO, you're going to get your feelings hurt. And so I'm just – that's something that is not concerning to me, but I am starting to notice even from last year that a lot of these gentlemen ain't really trying to stop that run like that. They want to rush the passer, and that's fine, but – it ain't going to get you no starting spot consistently, though.
I like that comparison.
That's really good.
Versus an all-around player.
Yeah.
How you getting paid, right? Go get the sacks.
Go get it.
So, I mean, that's what they're valuing right now. But I hear you.
And
I'm with you.
But it's just like, hey, dude, but if you set this away screen.
Yep.
it's going to make everybody else better. And it makes it's just
you'll get you a Jared Verse.
Yeah.
A well-rounded type of player.
Yeah. Like, there's some guys in here, and I hopefully maybe we'll talk about it more Thursday. Like, there's some guys down this DN depth chart that do it, but I'm just starting to realize when I see it, I'm like, oh, this is nice. He's stopping the run.
He can do both. Yeah. You're going to run the mock draft on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
This is Aisha's mock draft Thursday morning, 11 a.m. Central Time. Have fun. All 32 picks belong to Aisha. We're just going to sit there and watch.
Absolutely not.
We'll have fun.
You got it.
I don't know who said that.
We will be mock drafting on Thursday. Should be a whole lot of fun. We'll go through 1 through 32.
Just keep trading back, Aisha. Don't worry about it. We'll get
I'm about to get you off the clock. I don't know what you got going on.
Trade back.
Please.
But that'll be a whole lot of fun. Be sure to tune in on Thursday. For Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, Aisha Morrison, Chris Beam, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long. We'll see you on Thursday with more of The Draft Show.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys? Yeah!